This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on the declaration of the 19th G20 summit and bilateral talks with various countries. The participants are Anil Kumar Trigunayat, former ambassador, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
The G20 summit 2024 commenced in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil on 18th November and will conclude on 19th November, that is today. World leaders, including Prime Minister Narendra Modi, are attending the summit. To discuss more on this, we are joined by Ambassador Anil Trigunayat. Ambassador Trigunayat, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
India today brought world leaders together for harnessing technology to foster a sustainable future on the margins of the G20 Leaders Summit in Rio de Janeiro. The leaders emphasized on the power of digital public infrastructure, artificial intelligence, and data-driven governance in achieving the sustainable development goals and transforming lives of people globally. Moving ahead, Ambassador Trigunayat. Prime Minister Narendra Modi yesterday addressed the opening session of the G20 summit in Rio de Janeiro. He spoke about the initiatives India has taken to deal with hunger and poverty, and these two points have found a mention in the G20 leaders' declaration yesterday. How do you look at Prime Minister's address in totality?
Well, I think that what Prime Minister said is what India stands for. And that is one earth, one family, one future. That was the theme for India's G20 presidency, in which we focused on the welfare of the global south, greater inclusion of the global south, which was indicated by inclusion of African Union with 55 countries as the permanent member of the G20, taking it to virtually to G21 level. It's not called as yet, but that's precisely what India did. And more importantly, this was that the welfare of that. The global south was uppermost in the mind of Prime Minister Modi and during our presidency. And fortunately, that is what has been carried forward in the Brazilian presidency. You know, we can call it an IPSA presidency. India, Brazil, and South Africa, we also have this organization. Fortunately, this is for the first time that the four developing countries are holding G20 presidency in succession. And that's a very important thing because we are on the same challenges, we have the same kind of platforms. They're trying to, you know, find voice for the rest of the developing world. And therefore, challenges that are there for everyone to see are being plowed in. And 4 years is a good enough time to thrash it at home with the developed world, that the real problems of the global south must be heard, must be addressed, and they must be able to negotiate a better deal for themselves. Whether it is climate change, whether it is sustainable development goals, or thirdly, whether it is the reforms of our representation in the multilateral institutions. So Prime Minister Modi's speech yesterday, as you have heard, was essentially that India had prioritized the SDG goals. It brought it into sharper focus because you know that because of the two wars, the Russia-Ukraine war and the Middle Eastern war, we have seen that there is no longer any focus on the SDGs. No funding is made available. And so therefore, to bring it back through the Voice of Global South summits, which India had before the actual summit meetings, and as soon as we took over one first summit, the second Voice of Global South summit India had was after just before giving up our presidency to Brazil, to give them the assessment of whatever their recommendations, their aspirations were, how India was able to achieve that. So that was something very important. India also focused on inclusive development, women-led development, and youth power, as you know. Now, in this time, Prime Minister Modi's speech was very clear. It was not only that we are telling the world that do this, do that. We are telling them what have we done. For example, bringing out 250 million people in 10 years out of the poverty is a great achievement by any standards, or for that matter, continuing to provide for 5-6 years the food subsistence assistance for about 800 million people. I mean, that's no joke, though not many countries have that kind of a population. So he really referred to the key specific initiatives that India has taken, which can be adopted and implemented by many in the global south, especially the developing countries who can find it very useful. So all those things clearly indicate India's leadership role as a leader of the global south, at the same time its capacities and ideational I would say, the impact that India has on the world.
Ambassador Trigunath, coming to the Rio Declaration for the 19th G20 summit, the major points which were covered in it were inclusive economic and political situation, social inclusion and fight against hunger and poverty, sustainable development, energy transition, climate change, AI, UN and global governance, to name a few. One of the most important and interesting point was taxing the billionaires of the world. Your opinion on this very point, and how is G20 trying to keep itself relevant in the ever-churning global order?
You know, we have these multinational corporations whose turnover is much bigger than the GDP of many countries in the world. So they become major non-state actors, and therefore they are able to, and now the world is becoming an e-commerce place. Now they have a capacity whereby they can sort of not pay taxes to any country from where they're doing it. Apart from, there is the data, as you know, the AI and data is the big thing today. And therefore, they control the data as well. And these are the things that need to be brought about in our discourse so the country from where you are making business also earns some money out of them. And therefore, it was agreed that there will be a 15% tax which will be levied across the world on such multinational corporations and the big businesses. And this is very important. And I think that there is a greater focus that we must continue to wear towards it. I don't know to what extent the countries will be able to force it. If the bigger countries, especially from where these multinational corporations have their headquarters in, because see, very often they take advantage of their location in different places and being on the digital platforms and things like that. So therefore, these are new challenges, and these new challenges require new efforts and the newer rules, regulations, everything. Similarly, we have seen that it is important to have this global alliance against hunger and poverty. Now, can these big companies and the big countries help in that? That is also very important, because these are the very byproducts of the wars that are being fought today, in which all these big countries are involved. So this is something that we need to probably look. I'm sure they are understanding and doing it. But then many countries have their own issues in this regard. Likewise, the multilateral development banks, I mean, these reforms are absolutely overdue, long overdue. And therefore, we have to focus on that. So these are all issues which are interlinked in one way or the other. But this taxation, and likewise, there was a cross-border taxation. There were other proposals how to fund the climate change, climate mitigation efforts. Those are still in the nascent stages. And we have just seen that the COP29 negotiations are going on in Baku, which appears to be a complete washout at this stage.
We have a report from our correspondent Sakshi Singh, who is on ground in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, covering the G20 summit. Let's listen in.
For the second day, the members are participating in two sessions. The first, sustainable development and energy transition, which is also being addressed by PM. The second session is on digital infrastructure. The sessions will be followed by a presentation of the G20's social summit reports and the formal closing ceremony, where the ceremonial gavel will be handed over to President of South Africa. On the bilateral front, PM has already held the meeting with President Lula, and more such meetings are expected to be held with the state heads of Argentina, Chile and Australia. A release of joint statement by IPSA is also expected.
I would like to now draw your attention on the conflict resolution and peace. The declaration addressed global conflict, which includes Ukraine and Palestine, and urged for peaceful resolution to redirect resources towards poverty alleviation and sustainable development. How do you view this? Will this resolution be enough? So what is your opinion on this? Is this resolution enough to bring about peace, or do we need to do more?
The United States has just seen a change in the new government, which will happen on January 20th. Now, President Trump has often said that he would have, the war would not have happened, that he would have stopped the war, or he will stop the war in 24 hours. Now, prior to that, what the current administration, which is the lame duck administration, is trying to do is pump in more money before it leaves and more arms. But hopefully that the war will end, because there are efforts that are being made, like Prime Minister Modi has been working, had met President Putin, President Zelensky, the US President, and all the other leaders in the world. He's already met this time also. So I think that this will have to be a joint effort. And I always believe that the key to both these wars lies in Washington. And if the Washington DC is not on board for one or the other, it'll be extremely difficult to do that. Now, ironically, while Russia-Ukraine war may see either a tampering down, a ceasefire or something, we would find it a bit difficult during this period of how this will work out for the other countries. That will be very difficult. I mean, we'll see that Palestine and Israel war might continue to expand. Now, that's not an easy thing.
I would now like to draw your attention to Prime Minister's bilateral talks with the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Prime Minister Narendra Modi expressed that comprehensive strategic partnership is of immense importance to India. So how do you view the bilateral between the two leaders and also future the trade talks, the talks on free trade agreement starting again?
Well, I think that Prime Minister Starmer, in talking to Prime Minister Modi, mentioned about two things. One is that he wants to see the negotiations start at the earliest on the UK-India FTA, and that will be a good thing if it happens. We'll have to plug the gaps. The previous Prime Minister had also said that it will be done before Diwali and things like that. It did not happen. These are very sensitive issues where each side tries to protect its own market access and get the maximum mileage out of it. So negotiators are also working on it. They have their own concerns with regard to the domestic industries. And I think that let's hope with the concurrence at the highest political level, this will be done. Second was, of course, India raised the issue of these economic offenders in the country, which have been given a very long rope and a long space to continue in the area. And they will have to respect the extradition requests. And that's something India has taken. And we have been given to understand that this will be happening.
Ambassador Trigonayat, now I would like to draw your attention to Prime Minister's bilateral meeting with his Italian counterpart, Giorgia Meloni. They held a bilateral meeting on the sidelines of the summit, and both the leaders have welcomed the India-Italy Joint Strategic Action Plan 2025-2029 to further elevate and give impetus to long-standing bilateral ties. I would like you to explain this to our listeners. What exactly is India-Italy Joint Strategic Action Plan 2025-2029, and how is it going to boost the bilateral ties?
You know, there is the relationship between India and Italy in the last few years has really gone ahead to a great level, and it has moved into the trade, into investments, into the defense and security domain. And you will recall that Italy was very much part of when we signed the IMEC corridor agreement in New Delhi last September during our G20 presidency, when Prime Minister Meloni was here along with other European and US colleagues. Now we have seen that in this, the India Middle East Europe corridor has a tremendous potential, although it is currently, because of the Middle East war, has been a bit under the damper. I believe that there is an effort by both sides also to try and increase it. Now, we work on many areas in bilateral, in regional, sub-regional, under G20 and United Nations and different areas. So India and Italy are two very important. Our trade is significant. The more and more Italian companies are looking at the Make India program also. So India is looking at new innovation, AI-driven solutions. So there are these upper high-tech issues that are very much part of our discourse. In addition, I think every time that the leaders meet, they look for progress report of what has happened so far and how we can continue now. So this action plan that has been adopted by both sides provides you a direction exactly how we are going to go and contend with the global and the regional and the bilateral issues.
Lastly, Ambassador Trigonayat, before we wrap up, very briefly, I would like to take your comments on what are your expectations from South Africa as G20 presidency passes on from Brazil to South Africa?
Well, I would hope that South Africa will continue and has already committed to continue on the path of providing the SDGs, greater focus, greater finance, and better implementation of the commitments that have been undertaken under the UN SDG goals. Those will be very important, because whether we talk of hunger, we talk of poverty, we talk of climate change, we talk of conflicts, everything is part of the SDGs. So hopefully under South Africa's presidency, because after that, we'll not have it for quite some time, an opportunity, because next presidency will go to the United States. And therefore, it is important that we do, the South Africa also follows what transpires from here.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Trigonayat, for sparing your valuable time and enriching us with all the details and facts of the G20. We'll keep following G20 in the coming days. Thank you so much for sparing your time.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on the declaration of the 19th G20 summit and bilateral talks with various countries. The participants were Anil Kumar Trigunayat, former ambassador, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent.